It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole and I'm your host. Ray Jeezy is out. Oh, man. This is a lot going on. This is going to be our show to talk about some Commanders news. It's like it's a Commanders special. It's like our second Commanders special. I mentioned Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kine, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the red subscribe button and like this video. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. All right, man, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We are scheduled to have Sports Journeys, Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr., join me to talk about the Commanders hiring Cliff Kingsbury as their new offensive coordinator. All right, so while we are waiting for Lake to jump on, let me first talk about like the hiring. So let's get into it a little bit. The Commanders have named Cliff Kingsbury as their new offensive coordinator. So my thoughts on the matter real quick before Lake jumps on. I'm not in love with the hire. It's not a hire that I kind of fancy, to be honest with you. But I'm like most Washington Commanders fans, Washington Redskins fans, whatever. I'm like a wait and see approach. So I just want to let's see what happens with the Commanders in that situation. I mean, see if he pans out as a play caller. I wasn't a big fan of what he did in Arizona because everything was kind of tailored for a particular quarterback, and it wasn't like Cliff Kingsbury is what I saw in, you know, in college, you know, and it's a guy that I've watched play quarterback at Texas Tech under the Mike Leach tree. He's a bright mind. And at that time when he was hired as a head coach for the Arizona Cardinals, he was under that, like, that mold of the Sean McVay thing. Like, okay, Sean McVay was now the trendy thing, the trendy topic. And he was the guy that everybody wanted to kind of copy. Everyone wanted to be the next Sean McVay. So he didn't really pan out that way. He drafted Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray had some success. But again, everything was tailored for Kyler Murray. And when that didn't really work out as a play caller, as an offensive genius, in the NFL, it didn't pan out. But also, you know, and people will come back and say his track record with quarterbacks. You know, he's had Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams now. Though there are guys out there that in the college ranks, he has been very effective. He has been very successful with, right, molding and grooming to some of our better quarterbacks in the some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. So, yes, in terms of what he can do helping out the college quarterback, yeah, hands down, he's one of the better guys to be out there in the college game. But the NFL is a whole different monster. So that's just my concern with Cliff Kingsbury. It's not that I don't think that he's not capable or he can't get the job done. It's just that at the same time, we're looking at a guy that, in my opinion, that I'm not like totally sold on, especially when you have so many guys out there that we've seen under different trees, or we've always talked about that we want to give somebody else, when we want to run this type of offense, we want to run that type of offense. I wasn't a big fan of Ben Johnson, and we, you know, whatever you lie on with that. But what I liked about the Ben Johnson thing in terms of what it differed from what Eric Bieniemy was doing here in DC, it was that Ben Johnson did run the football. So I never argued that point, you know, with anybody. Like if someone came to me and was like, I want Ben Johnson because he ran the football a lot, or he had a balanced offense, I would never argue against that, because to me, that's a valid point. Like Ben Johnson had it was balanced. He had a balanced offense. He ran the football. He had Gibbs and Montgomery, and those two guys ran. They took the rock, and they were effective running the football. So I heard a lot of Commander fans wanting that. But then when you hear Cliff Kingsbury, it's a little different, because he's a guy that's in that system of airing it out. Now, I know people have said that, you know, when in Arizona, they ran the football effectively. They were a top 10 rushing offense, three out of four seasons while in Arizona. But you also got to add into that he had Kyler Murray, a guy that was dynamic running the football. So it does kind of help out your run game numbers. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting situation. And then you add into the fact that how will he work with a young quarterback? How will he work with, say, whoever the starting quarterback is? If it's going to be Drake May, if it's going to be Caleb Williams, and we'll get into that later. If it's going to be a Caleb Williams, which I doubt it will be, or will it be a Jaden Daniels? Like, how does he work with that quarterback in the NFL game? I mean, he had a falling out with Kyler Murray in the towards the end part of his career in Arizona. So we'll see. We'll see how that really pans out. But I have a lot of questions about Cliff Kingsbury. But it's wild, because I used to like Kingsbury when he first got the job in Arizona. Though I did like him. I thought he would be a guy innovative. He would be here for years to come. I gave him an opportunity to see what he can do with the Kyler Murray. I like that marriage, but it didn't pan out. Like I said earlier, it didn't pan out. So just interested to see how this pans out. If this is going to pan out with being with Dan Quinn. I think the blessing with having for Kingsbury with Dan Quinn is that he's going to be with a guy who's going to own that defense. I mean, he's a head coach, but he's going to own the defense, and he's going to probably give them a defense that can give the offense some time to kind of adjust and kind of get their bearings. You know what I mean? Like last season with Eric Bieniemy, which I know he's got a lot of negative flack, and we'll talk about Eric Bieniemy and comparing it to coordinators, but when you look at what Eric Bieniemy had to kind of work around with a bad defense, knowing that he had to be in shootouts, or he had to maintain the fort or whatnot, it was difficult. Like, and then you're doing it with a first year starter. So what I do like in this situation is you got a proven track record. You have a guy with a proven track record with a Dan Quinn, who can kind of give Kingsbury an opportunity to get settled and get situated as the play caller. So he will to me have an easier time compared to EB, not because of like talent or whatever, but just that, you know, if you have a defense that I believe that Dan Quinn's going to make this defense 10 times better. You're going to have a defense now that is capable to keep your team in ball games. There's not going to be that much pressure on the offense to try to score, or try to maintain or kind of be in a shootout, or just try to keep the team close. Like now you have a defense that I believe that you can rely on, especially if you're going to have a rookie quarterback in this situation. I think then that will help. I think Lake's trying to get on. Will help the team. Like will help Clint. Oh, here, I think we got Lake. I think we finally got Lake. Help Cliff Kingsbury out a little bit. But let me introduce my guest. All right, my guy. Right now we have Sports Journeys, Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. on the show. What's going on, Lake?
What's going on, my friend? How you been, man?
Good, man. You know, I wanted to do a show tonight, because I was like, all right, I didn't get an opportunity to talk about Cliff Kingsbury. And I'm really interested in your mind in terms of your thought process on this hire. So off the rip, man, when you heard the news, what were your thoughts? Are you a fan of this hire?
Of Kingsbury?
Yeah.
I'm 100% a fan of it.
Okay. I'm surprised. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I look at it like, you know, both you and I weren't big Ben Johnson guys.
Yeah.
And when it didn't happen, fans were like ready to jump off the nearest bridge. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they wanted young, they wanted innovative offense. Well, hell, this dude is it. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that has all the innovative offensive styles. And you've heard defensive coordinators say it was tough to game plan against his offenses. I think if you're looking at how did he do as a coach in the NFL, I mean, they made the playoffs 1 year, but it wasn't great. Yeah. But I think that if you just bring him in the building to be exactly what he's great at, is just offense, and he doesn't have to worry about special teams, defense, game plan, and being the CEO of a company, he can just be a guy that manages his wing, I think he'll do okay. And I think that's what this offense, you know, they decided not to go with EB. So because of that, I still wanted to see somebody that's a little bit ahead of the curve as far as what they do on the offense. So I like the move.
Okay. So, all right. So for you, because I'm like, so I'm letting you know, I'm in between the move, to be honest with you, because you mentioned EB, that's the thing. I think that, and I get a lot of flack for it, but at the end, like when I look at EB situation and then comparing the two, it's not, all right, but I'll put it this way. With Ben Johnson, I get why people wanted him. Even though I wasn't a big fan of him, I get because there's a difference between the two philosophies, right? With Ben Johnson, we saw a team that ran the football more, right? We saw a team that ran the football more. And we already know that that's what Washington fans want. They want to see their team run the football a lot. We've seen that. We know that we watch social media everywhere. It's like, let's get back to traditional Washington Commanders, Redskins football. Let's run the football. So I get that. But then when you're going to a guy that, to me, he's innovative, but he has a reputation of being a more of a passing offense. I know you're gonna go with the rushing thing. I know that number.
They was top ten.
So I'll let you respond to that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, in my mindset is like, well, you had a guy who EB who threw the football a lot. You know what I mean? So and he had to do it with the first year starter in year one. And like, that's complicated. That's hard enough, to be honest with you, in year one. I get people's problems with EB. I get it. Like, I'm not here to say that EB did a great job. He did a bad job. I'm not gonna lie to you. It wasn't the greatest job for EB. I'm not gonna lie to you. But I'm keeping 100 with y'all. I am keeping 100 with y'all. But I don't know if Kingsbury is that much different. I don't know. That's just me. So I'll let you respond to what I just said.
I feel you, man. And we all know what the elephant in the room is, and you know, you want to see one of our own get a fair opportunity.
Yeah.
Eric bet on himself, and it didn't work out because the people that he was basically getting in bed with weren't good. And
it's the truth.
He got caught up in that, and you know, so you can't blame Dan Quinn, though, and say,
oh, no, not at all.
You know, he threw Eric under the bus. I think what it is, you know, guys want to bring their own people in.
I agree.
And they probably had already talked. And when Kingsbury and the whole thing with the Raiders fell apart, Washington was like, look, we lost out pretty much on our first candidate. Mm-hmm. Our second candidate didn't get off a plane in Seattle. So you had to get somebody that you really were high on, or that maybe slipped through the cracks where you didn't think would be available. And I don't think they thought Cliff Kingsbury would be available, to be honest with you. They thought that Raiders thing was done. I just look at it in these terms. Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it, man. Do not think for a hot second that didn't go into play, too. I'm not saying Kingsbury got the job solely because to work out and you can get Caleb. He got it on his own acumen.
Facts.
But the fact that this kind of played out before for him. He had history with Kyler Murray. You know what I'm saying? In that air raid type of offense, and got him, you know? So I think the similarities is obviously that he and Caleb Williams have a great relationship.
Yeah.
He was out there in USC last year. Caleb Williams looks just like Patrick Mahomes 2.0, as far as, like, if you want to talk about who he compares to.
Who's comparable to,
And guess what? Cliff Kingsbury coached Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech. So there's a lot of little similarities here. It would be rather disappointing if they didn't get Caleb Williams somehow. But, you mean, there's other guys out there.
Yeah.
I keep saying this, my friend, man. Listen, we're boys, man. We go back. I say this all the time. One thing I love about you is you don't mince your words, and you know I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to say this to the fans, though. This whole gloom and doom, never happy, it has to stop.
It has to.
Because, I mean, listen, man, you wanted Dan Snyder out of here. He's gone. Now you're trying to get mad at Josh Harris because he didn't do what you wanted. Yeah. You're not the owner of this football team. True. And he hasn't had a chance to see how what he wants to do plays out yet. So I keep saying to the fans, you don't have to like everything, but you're not the expert at this. You're not. And you're wearing your heart on your sleeve and not your brain. And I think that you have to give this a fair chance to see how it plays out. If it turns out to be another dud, hell, we lived through them so many times, we'll be used to it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go into another season covering this team thinking it's a dud. I like what I heard from Dan Quinn yesterday. He seemed like a level-headed guy. He just seemed like a football guy.
Yeah.
And it was way different from Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera had no charisma in his press conferences.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. And his first press conference did not leave any of us thinking, we ready to go, we ready to go. You know what? Eric Bieniemy's first press conference, introductory press conference, had people ready to run through the ball.
They sure did.
I kind of got that vibe from Dan Quinn yesterday that it's going to be no nonsense, but it's going to be fun for the first time in a long time. It's going to be hard-hitting, serious practices, but it's going to be fun. And let's just see how it plays out, man. I mean, you poached another team's greatest asset from the coaching ranks, which is going to make your unit better and weaken theirs, and it's your arch rival. And this guy's coming into the fold. Well, like, think about it, bro. He's coming into the fold not really having to do extra homework against the Eagles, extra homework against the Giants as personnel. He knows their personnel. Yeah, they're going to have different systems, you know, with Kellen Moore in Philly and a new guy in New York, but he still knows their personnel. And last time I looked, Dallas's defense tormented the NFC East this year.
True. Very true. So to that, like, in terms of, you mentioned Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn is actually, and I said this before you came on, I think he makes Kingsbury job a lot easier. And what I mean by that, in comparison to what, and this show has an EB theme. I'm not gonna lie to you, it does. So, but in terms of, like, what EB had to deal with, and the pressure of having an offense to try to kind of mask a porous defense, right? I think in this situation with Dan Quinn, I think the defense will be 10 times better. I'm not saying it's gonna be top 10. I'm not gonna say it's gonna be top five, but it will be so much better, to a point where if Kingsbury is struggling, it will mask a lot. It will help him out and help his offense kind of go through the process of becoming the offense that he hopes to be. And I think that a lot of times, what I have an issue, to your point, like, with this fan base, and what is that everybody wants things instantaneously, and it doesn't happen that way. So, you know, football is a team game, and I do feel like with Dan Quinn, what he can do on the defensive side of football, if the Commanders offense struggles a little bit, it'll be masked by that, how well defense is playing, and then it'll give the offense time to catch up. And I think eventually down the road, his offense will kind of pan out.
That's a great point. And you know, I was thinking about this too. You know what the Commanders need to turn this thing around? It has to be eerily similar to what Houston did. Houston turned it around because their best player on offense and their best player on defense were rookies.
Yes, good point.
And rookies coming from winning situations.
Good point.
All they knew was winning. They brought that into the pros. And if you're a veteran, 6-year veteran, 7-year veteran, I don't care if you got Pro Bowlers behind your name. If all you've done is loss, you have nothing to say if a young guy's coming in here and outworking you and outperforming you. You got to fall in line. Mm-hmm. Washington needs that. They need, whether it's Caleb Williams, whether it's Jaden Daniels, whether it's Drake May, they need a young guy, or maybe Marvin Harrison Jr., who knows? The point is, whoever it is, they need that person to come in and just look the part. Look like, you know what, I'm better than you already, and I haven't even played a game yet. Mm-hmm. And then guys will fall in tow, because if not, if you draft somebody and they struggle, which we saw with Forbes this year and previous years, Jamin Davis, these guys, there's no reason to get better, because you don't see anything that's pushing you to be better. Correct. If the guy behind you's not any good, they need to have their young players hit the ground running, and it never happened for them under Ron Rivera.
I totally agree. So like you did mention this a little briefly about, I mentioned Kingsbury and what I think he is, but for you, what is his identity as an offense? Like, what is his offensive identity to you?
I think it's an explosive offense. Okay. It's a big play offense. And that's not just lip service. I know everybody wants that, but some guys, their whole offense is predicated on 10-yard gains or more. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. He spreads the field. I looked at some film earlier today, actually, and the concepts of how he gets his best guy in one-on-one coverage. You know, if you're Terry McLaurin, you're going to love this guy, because he's going to hide you. He's going to do things to take cover two off of you. You know, that you're not going to have a guy over top of you, because he's going to spread the field out. But he will turn the ball around and hand it off and run the football. And I like that. I just think we haven't seen a full modern setup. Eric had some concepts in the past game that did open up some things. But Eric just didn't run the football. Let's just call it like it
is. Yeah, he didn't.
And you had a bruiser back there and Brian Robinson. So I would think with Cliff Kingsbury that they're going to run the football. You know, they're going to make a concerted effort to run it. And in fairness to Eric, not to throw him under the bus or anything, but his offensive line was terrible, and he inherited a terrible line. So hopefully they know, Dan Quinn knows that, because he went up against that line and ate turkey legs on them. So I would hope they know they got to do better up front if they want to have any hope for anybody. I mean, they did, man. They had the chicken to turkey.
They did, man. It was I know. That's embarrassing. That was embarrassing. Paul, for you, we will benefit. B-Rod will benefit the most. You agree?
I like that, and I agree. I think that, you know, you can get back to doing some of the things. Let's face it, man, it's the NFC East. And what was one of the reasons why Alex couldn't go far this year and fell apart? You know what it was? They didn't have a running game. So
that's true.
They couldn't run the football. That's true. The Eagles, what killed them and what made things fall apart for them? They couldn't run the football. And that's the thing. And when Eagles did run the football this year, I'm not talking about with Miles Sanders. We are, by the way. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about when they didn't run it this year, they lost. And when they didn't have an RPO set up for Jalen Hurts, they lost. You know, I ain't messing with you.
I ain't messing with you. Go ahead.
We're everywhere, man.
But so I see I'm trying to get Mike over here.
It's everywhere.
I know. I see I'm trying to get Micah Parsons over here. My thought also, I think B-Rob can be – I mean, I want B-Rob to be really real – to be real effective. I root for him, to be honest with you, because I thought he could have been effective with – that was my disappointment with EB, like not to utilize B-Rob the way he could have. I mean, he did a little bit – he did it more in the passing game than I thought he would do with B-Rob. But just as a runner, I wanted him to
feature
him a little bit more. Yeah, even Gibson, to be honest with you. Yeah. So do you think that – B-Rob is the prototypical type. Do you really think he's the prototypical type running back for a Kingsbury offense, or like somebody like Gibson? Because I would normally think a scat back would be his type of guy, but you think B-Rob would be that guy for him?
I'm going to tell you who I really think could excel in Kingsbury's offense. I think Chris Rodriguez excels.
Really? Okay.
I do. And I say that because Chris to me is a little bit of a combination of both B-Rob and Gibson.
Gotcha. Okay.
He's explosive between the tackles. I mean, he's not breakaway speed, but he's not slow.
Gotcha.
And he's physical. And I think that as he got more touches during the season, you started to see them moving the chains. I mean,
definitely.
he, you know, Brian does have a tendency at times to dance before he hits the hole.
This is true.
And before he hits a gap, you know, he kind of is like feeling it out. And then, you know, outside of that, he may run up on his lineman, you know, yeah. But Rodriguez just seemed like there was something that was there that I just don't think they knew they had. I mean, yeah. I just don't think they knew how to use them. So I think collectively, if all three are there, you'd have a complete running back because each guy could do something different and better than the other. So you don't have to go out and find the one guy that has all three of their traits. If you have three guys that can become one, I think it'll be okay.
All right, I got a question, my man D. Mitty. He said, can Sam exist in Kingsbury's offense?
See, I think Sam benefits the most from this.
Ooh, okay. Explain that. I like that. I like that one. Explain.
Yeah, I do. I think that Sam, when you go back to his days at North Carolina, Mac Brown, you know, they kind of spread the football around, and Sam was throwing that thing all over the field. Kingsbury's offense requires you to throw the ball everywhere. You have to be able to have an arm to hit every throw on the tree. And I think Sam has that. Again, it's just a matter of having the time. The thing that Sam struggles with, not when he's running, because he does create like off play type of plays where he runs, but when it's coming to him making an off you know play
off schedule
throw, that's where he struggles. And see, that's where a guy like Caleb can come in, a guy like perhaps a Jaden Daniels can come in. They can create more. And I think that that's just the one thing about Sam's game that just will never really be there. He can make off-schedule plays with his legs, but with his arm, that's not his thing.
It's different, right? It's totally different. It's a different beast. So in terms of like, all right, you mentioned these quarterbacks, you know, obviously it's out there. I mean, we all know like the connection with Caleb and Kingsbury, like everyone's talking about it. I won't lie to you. Like everybody knows. I think Caleb is amazing. I think Caleb is the best quarterback in this draft.
By far.
By far. I just don't want him coming here.
listen, this is the thing. I don't think it's gonna be the you know, rest in peace to Dwayne Haskins, but I don't think it's gonna be that setup.
Because I'm scared for the locals, man.
It's gonna be Chase Young, because this is the thing.
Yeah,
those guys, although they were great high school players and clearly had to be to go to Ohio State, you know, both of them.
Yeah,
they were never the guy in high school. They were great players.
It's
in
true.
High school.
This is very, very
they
good
were never the guy. Yeah. Caleb Williams was the number one recruit in
I
the
keep
country.
Telling people this. I no,
so he's I had know. This bullseye on him from day one.
Since boys and girls football, he's been this guy.
Absolutely. My nephew played with him.
Yes,
and
I know about
him. And against him because he hoops too.
Yeah, so he hoops too. Yeah, I know.
We're talking about an athlete, man, from D.C. And I think – this isn't Dan Snyder's Commanders or Redskins. Mm. Nobody wanted to play here. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to get paid. Well, this guy has something about him where he wants to be great. Like he knows who he's compared to. Yeah. And I think he, in his mind, feels like, I could be better than Patrick. I know that's just the mentality.
Yeah.
I want that, man. I want that. I'm tired of them having guys that you and I were walking that locker room after a game and they were in there laughing. Mm-hmm. They got used to the losing. It became a check to them because that's the only thing they could take pride and benefit in is they got paid because their damn sure weren't doing it on the field. I saw it after the Bears game this year. Guys just got destroyed on a Thursday night at home, national television, in front of your legends, and it's just, guys was in the locker room chilling, you know? So it wasn't a team. It was a broken, fractured team. Mm-hmm. I think a guy like Caleb could come in and excite guys again. The John Allens of the world, Terry McLaurin would get excited because they're going to see what it's like to be playing with an elite talent, which they never had at that position.
All right, I got another question for you. Paul put it out there. So what is the difference between him and Jaden Daniels? Caleb and Jaden Daniels, what's the difference?
I can tell you, man. Jay, first of all, I like Jay.
I'm gonna let you go first, though.
I like him a lot. But when you look at like what they call in baseball, like a five-tool guy,
yeah,
Jaden Daniels probably a 4-tool guy. Patrick Mahomes is a 5-tool guy. Right. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, a guy. Yeah. Caleb Williams is a 5-tool guy because he can make all the throws. He can extend plays. His vision, though, is what separates him from a lot of people. Yeah. And then the other thing that he has, Jaden Daniels has deep ball accuracy that might be just as good as Caleb, seriously.
Yeah, he has good deep ball accuracy.
But the overall accuracy, throwing in tight windows, throwing intermediate routes, touch passes, deep balls, there's nobody that I have covered coming out of college, probably, I'm going to say this, man, y'all can think I'm crazy, not even Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow showed me how great his arm was when he, you know, was at LSU.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about from day one. The only guy that I can compare Caleb to just as far as just it, he's not his size, of course, but I'm going to go Andrew Luck, man. Andrew Luck was a can't miss prospect.
He was a can't miss prospect.
You knew what you were going to get with him. There was no question marks.
True. I agree.
And people, what do people say about Andrew Luck, though? Well, they think about it.
Back then, he was just
the knock on Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford. And I remember vividly because I heard it in the combo.
Because he was my first pick overall. Like between him, I always liked Andrew Luck. I'm trying to think of the negative thing.
The mobility
because he was fast.
There was no knock on his game. There was no knock on his game. He was different. He was a little
weird. That's what it was.
That's what they're trying to put Caleb in. They're trying to say he's a little weird, you know, is he egocentric or whatever?
Yeah.
What dog do you know does not think highly of themselves?
I agree. Paul just like, he just dislikes Caleb. I remember Paul. Like, I know what Paul's talking about. If Paul's my guy, he dislikes Caleb. he ain't a big Caleb believer. I will say this, though. This is my Jaden Daniels comparison. So, because I've watched him and I've kind of got the gist of who he is. You know who he reminds me of? I'm glad you mentioned Andrew Luck. You know who he reminds me of?
Who, Jaden?
Yeah, you know who he reminds me of? For real? Because it's not Lamar.
Let me take a guess. Lamar's different. This generation is Mike Vick. They're different.
Exactly. So it's not Lamar. That's, yeah, guess.
So is he an older guy?
No. He's young enough. He don't play no more, but he's young enough. No, he don't play anymore, but he's young enough. He's fighting his 30s now. Yeah, he's in his 30s now.
Don't say, I was going to say a young Teddy Bridgewater, but no.
It's more relevant than you would think because you mentioned Andrew Luck, so you can kind of think. You mentioned Andrew Luck. There was somebody right after Andrew
Luck. He reminds you of Robert?
Yep, because he's straight line speed, throws a good deep ball, very similar. It's not
his arm and vision are light years better than Robert's.
I'm talking about like in college, like the Baylor arm. He reminds me of Robert in college. He reminds me a lot of Robert in college.
Yeah, but Robert didn't see the field. Robert did was his athleticism.
This is the thing
with Robert, because you know that's my dude.
Yeah.
Robert had three first round wide receivers.
He did.
And I'm he would just throw the ball up because he had the arm strength. And the Kendall Wrights and them guys would just go get the ball.
I agree. But see, Jaden at LSU, Jayden them dudes ain't them dudes.
This year, Jaden Daniels this year, Malik Nabers and another dude, he got two first round receivers coming out.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow had three first
round receivers. I'm saying he got guys.
So what did Caleb have this year?
That's why I agree. No, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, to me,
because Addison was gone. He was Addison gone.
Like, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't like that's what it's the same thing I say with Drake May. That's why I like Drake. I mean, I like Drake May because he ain't working with the best. I'm cool. Like, he ain't working with the best.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so there's no knock on Jaden Daniels. It's not. But I do like one. You transferred from Arizona State to come to LSU, and LSU. Sorry, it's a fact. I'm not lying to you, homie. This is what it is. It is wide receiver. It's one of wide receiver use. It's one of them.
It is.
It's one of them. And they
into him transferring there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Kelly was there. I mean, he knew what he was getting into.
Yes. So your numbers are going to be if you are a talented quarterback. It's going to be better. Caleb, to your point, late, ain't had them same dudes anymore. That's why I think they're different. They're light. They're different. There's a difference between Caleb and Jaden Daniels. And one, to your point, which I kind of like, I think people overanalyze, like they overanalyze the draft process. Mm-hmm. Like if you consistently have done it throughout your football career Pop Warner, middle school, I mean, boys and girls, high school, 707, college football.
I mean, this guy was the number one recruit.
The number one recruit in the country.
He goes to Oklahoma.
Starts as a true freshman.
Freshman of the year.
Starts as a true freshman. As a true freshman.
Transfers, goes to SC, wins the Heisman.
Yes.
I mean, so people are naturally saying, well, he should have won it again this year. Listen, man, his numbers actually weren't bad.
Yeah,
he had 30 touchdowns, 5 interceptions with nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
And then argument to you, too, for that, and to add on to that, I would say to people who say about his last year, go to Peyton Manning's last year in college when Charles Woodson won the Heisman. And ask me the year, but what was his year before? The year before was way better than his last year in Tennessee. It's the same thing. It's actually the same exact. Charles Woodson won the Heisman, and Peyton Manning ended up still being a Hall of Famer.
I say this to put everything in proper perspective. Mm-hmm. Rotate those guys from their own teams to the other team. Mm-hmm. If Drake May was at USC this year, with what Caleb have, is there a big difference in play with USC?
I think it's a big difference. Not a big difference. I think USC is, I mean, they're going to be worse off. But I do think, Drake May.
Okay,
Drake
so May that's is, fair.
Yeah.
But that's fair. They're, you said they'll be worse
a little off.
Okay. Put Caleb on Jaden Daniels' LSU team. Team's in the playoffs.
He's killing.
Yeah.
He's killing.
Yeah. Put Drake May on LSU.
I think Drake May kills at LSU.
Yeah, I do too. But put Jaden Daniels in North Carolina.
I don't know. Because you saw him at Arizona State and you wouldn't get the same. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think you get to a point where you gotta like you substitute people place to place and see what they do with limited talent. You put Caleb with that LSU squad, you know he's putting up numbers and you know it's gonna be vicious.
And that's why you've seen it already. And that's why your guest had just said that he thinks JD plays better in structure. There was no structure at LSU. It was athletes all over the field.
Yeah.
And you just get the ball out to them. To me, I think that, you know, you have to be upfront here, man. Mm-hmm. There has never been in a young person's generation with this team an elite quarterback except for Robert that one year. And the last time I looked, they started that year terrible, his rookie year. They went on a run towards the end and made the playoffs. But Robert still wasn't an expert at throwing the football. He was just running past people, and they found their mojo as a team. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But this franchise has never really seen in the last two decades an elite quarterback. Haskins was not an elite quarterback.
Nobody.
He had his limitations. His system kind of helped him at Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think that the three of these young guys have elite potential.
I agree.
But I think Caleb has generational potential.
Oh, I totally agree. So if Caleb isn't drafted by Washington, does it, because you know you got to trade up? You know, there's so many different variables.
I'm trading up.
I'm just saying there's so many. It may not. Just say it doesn't happen. Say Chicago don't want to. Chicago could be like, because all right, this is my thing. You know, because a lot of people are like they're putting two and two together. If I'm Chicago and I believe everything you're saying, and I believe everything I'm saying, I'm not trading Caleb. Because if he's generational, if he's the next Patrick Mahomes,
Caleb, I'm not trading Caleb. Let it be known that he doesn't want to play.
Okay, that's the only way. But I'm saying
he's going to have to, because this is the thing. What has Chicago done organization-wise that would make you want to go play quarterback there? Because think about it, you didn't equip Justin Fields with everything he needed. I mean, like, seriously, they finally got DJ Moore for him this year, and look at what he did. He looked the part because he had some pieces.
Yeah.
But overall, they didn't have any weapons, and he suffered for that. Yeah. So now I'm looking at it like, You know, go before that, Mitchell Trubisky. He didn't have any weapons, and he suffered for it. You gotta help your quarterback, man. If you're gonna invest into a top pick to be your quarterback,
no, I agree with you.
You gotta get him weapons because he's not gonna be able to come from college to the NFL and do it alone. It don't work like that.
Yeah, I will say this because we just said this, but you put Caleb with DJ Moore. It's problems. I'm just telling you, it's problems. It's real problems.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you.
I mean, listen, if I'm the Bears, I ain't trading Caleb. I mean, come on, man. Let's just call it like it is.
But for the sake of
for life here and trying to, you know, finally be relevant with something, I want him here. I'm selfish.
I'm serious. I'm like, hey, I get total control for you for the next four to five years. And I have to give another contract to Fields. And I think Fields is a fine quarterback. I'm going to be real. I think Fields has gotten better. Like, I'm with you about Justin Fields.
Justin Fields going to Atlanta.
Yeah, me too. But I'm just saying, like, it's just different. You know, it's different levels to this. Like, Fields is nice. I think Fields could be really good in the right system. Like, really good.
You think Justin's as good as Jaden Daniels or Drake May?
I think he's just as good as Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I think you put him in the right. I think he's just as good as Jay. I think May's a better passer of the football. But that's not a. I'm gonna be totally honest with you. I think you put Justin Fields in the Eagles offense. I think you'll see something totally special. I'm serious. I think if you put him with like how the Eagles use Hurts, I think you'll see something totally special.
The new coordinator in Chicago came from Seattle and he worked wonders with Geno Smith.
Yeah. So I think he could do. I think he has. I mean, and I'm a Michigan fan, whatever, you know. And I'm telling you, like, go ahead. I know national champions. But I will say, like, that's like even as wild because CJ Stroud never feared CJ Stroud when Michigan. I never feared CJ Stroud, but I feared Justin Fields.
Justin Fields was that dude at Ohio State.
Yeah, I feared him because there was so much he can do, like. He can run. He runs a 4.3, and when he's in a rhythm, he can really throw. He can throw the football when he's in a rhythm, and we saw that. I mean, though Washington was a disgrace on Thursday night, but we saw that Thursday night. Like he was on one, like for that nice little stretch. So let me ask you this though.
Mm-hmm. Realistically, like. Yeah. If Chicago were to trade out of their pick and get like two first rounders and you walk out of there, you keep Justin Fields and you equip him. Now he's got DJ Moore and you equip him with Marvin Harrison. And then you picking up somebody else's pick in the first round again. You have two picks because you got Carolina's pick and you still have
Marvin.
Number nine.
Because you get Marvin.
So you could get Marvin Harrison and Brock Bowers, if you're Chicago, to go with Justin Fields and DJ Moore, are you telling me that you would not contemplate that?
I would. That's a good one. I would. I mean, you know, I mean, so I won. I ain't gonna lie to you. Once you do, I mean, the title for Georgia is amazing. So he's amazing. I'm not knocking him.
But now you get
once you said Marvin, you already got me. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. That Marvin, I ain't gonna lie. So I'm cute a buck. Like.
Yeah, man.
I know I mentioned Jaden. We mentioned Jaden and Jaden Daniels and Drake May. But since that number two, like I don't ever want to not throw Marvin in that discussion too.
Oh no, Marvin could be the number one pick in the draft.
I don't ever want to throw him in that discussion of a guy who could possibly be drafted by the Commanders.
No, listen, if the Commanders at two said we're not trading up, we're not trading out of our spot, and they announced Marvin Harrison at the podium, I'm not throwing no fit. I'm like,
okay, all right. Are you crazy like that?
Like, I would tell
a fit. I know folks will, though. Like,
this guy is a phenom.
Yeah. So your thought process, okay, so let's go. If it's not Caleb, so I'm going back to it. If it's not Caleb, who they draft?
Bro, I'm telling you right now, man, they got options. Okay. There is no clear cut. You know, I'm a Penn State dude, man, and I like Kachanu a lot.
I like him too. I like him too.
I mean, you know, he got your Nigerian background, man. And I get it. But Marvin Harrison, you can't just glaze over him. Man.
I know, man. I know.
He's that dude. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say this. Marvin Harrison to me, from what I've seen, is the closest thing to one of the throwback big receivers like T.O.
I agree.
I mean, he's bigger than his dad. I mean, his dad was that dude, a technician on the field.
On the routes,
but Marvin Harrison Jr. has like that Randy Moss type stuff.
There you go. I'm serious.
Like, it's just a different level. And he's big. He's fast. He's a great kid, by the way. Just raised right. Yeah. That's what you want, man. You want a big physical specimen. So to me, Washington can't go wrong. You have a generational tackle, two of them, and Fashano and Alt's that too.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's a monster.
You have Marvin Harrison Jr., you have Caleb. Daniels and Drake May are not to be slept on. They're talents. But I would make those two guys probably. See, I think if you're Washington and you say we want to see what Sam Howell can give us, with a whole setup around him, not just from an EB standpoint. I mean, the whole culture of the team around him is better.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, then you have to take a tackle.
I agree.
But if you're not going to do that, and you don't want to trade out of your position. Hell, man, I, if you could trade back to six or something, say like the Patriots want Daniels or something, I would trade with the Patriots, and then you get their six and, and maybe another first rounder somehow, some way. Man, you could get some things here. I just think Washington is at a point, though. They need a franchise caliber player to build with, and it starts at the quarterback spot. And I just think that they're in a position, a once-in-a-lifetime position. Last time they were at number two, they got the consolation prize. Call it what it is. I know RG won the Heisman, but he was not Andrew Luck. Everybody would tell you.
Yeah,
it wasn't a bad consolation, and it was working out.
It was magical that year. Yeah.
Listen, this time, don't even give yourself a chance to get the consolation. Do what you have to do. Remember, they moved up to get Robert. You remember that, right?
Yeah, big time. The Kings ransom.
They traded a good amount. Fans don't talk about that. Fans don't say, well, they gave up too much for Robert because he was a rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Trade up, man. Trade up that one spot. If you got to give up one of your seconds this year and a second or a first from next year, I'm doing it to get Caleb Williams.
All right, I'm here with Hester Maxwell said they want Marvin Harrison, but they want us to move up and give up the house for Williams. No way. Do you agree with that?
But this is the thing, and I think this is a fair question to ask any Commanders fan.
Yeah.
What have our draft picks done?
Good.
You don't give up picks. What have the picks done? So it's not like you've been nailing them. And you've been in them spots a lot and you haven't nailed them. So what I'm saying is you don't know until you try. And my thing is, this is a quarterback that has not been under the radar. He's been front and center for several years now. And you have a chance with a new owner. It's almost like a book was written for this to happen. Mm-hmm. You have a new owner, a new coach, a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, just cap space out, number one in cap space, five picks in the first 100, six in the top 106. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that you wouldn't put together three of them picks if you have to move up to one? One is not 11 where they pick at all the time, or 13 or 15. One is one for a reason. And this guy is not the rest of this draft. He's different. And I'm sorry if people think he's weird, paints his fingernails, does fashion shoots in a dress. Hey, man, that's a young man getting paid. And that's NIL money. He's the first of his generation to get that kind of money. It's just different. I mean, it is what it is. Are these guys soft nowadays compared to when we were growing up? Hell yeah. But you know what? I will take a weird dude that can sling that ball around as opposed to a nice dude that can't.
Facts. Ray said, can you protect Caleb?
Yeah, you can protect him. And this is the other thing people have to remember. When you have dynamic skill sets at that position, you make your line look better. And I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes. Kansas City's offensive line is not good. Let's just call it like it is.
See Wiley. So you see how
they're not good. But when you have a great talent behind you, it makes your line look better than what it is. Buffalo's offensive line is not good, but Josh Allen makes them look better. And ultimately you will get some linemen. I mean, Sam Cosmi's really good. Probably could have been a Pro Bowler this year.
Yeah.
So you have somebody there, you know, and you can go out with your cap money. You can go out and get one or two free agents to go on that line. And then you still have 2 second round draft picks. So the one you can give up to move up to get Caleb, you can use your other second rounder on an offensive lineman. And now we're talking. You got a totally revamped offensive line.
All right. So I'm going to ask you this question. I put this on Facebook and on Twitter as well. Or X, I guess I should call it X. In terms of, do you feel that Kingsbury will do better than Bienemy in the next season?
I do, and I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
Because he's got a coach who recognizes his talent.
Gotcha.
He's got a defensive coordinator in Witt who's going to play to Kingsbury's strength on offense. They're going to be lockstep in unison how they – play situational football.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Gotcha.
Never saw situational football with Jack Del Rio, Ron Rivera, and Eric. And that wasn't on Eric. That was the other two guys because they didn't do it when they had Scott Turner. They never had all three phases play at the same time ever. Mm. And I think you'll see that this year. So, yes, I think Kingsbury will do better by default because the setup around him is more conducive for him to do better.
Okay. All right. So also, I think Ray's not on the show today, but she said Chase was still a good pick at the time, just like RG3, in my opinion. At the time, they were good picks. At the time, they were great picks. I think that's a factual.
No, he was wasted here because Montez, all of them, John Allen, Deron Payne, it's the same thing, man.
Yeah.
Watch them guys this year. And the problem I have with this is, you did trade these guys away and get a second and third, you know, so now you have more draft capital. But I damn sure would have loved to have seen Chase and Montez in Dan Quinn's system. Hides guys and maneuvers them. And Dan Quinn's never had tackles in Dallas, and yet that defense was always good. They just, you know, you could run on them up the middle. But now you've got tackles. And I'm going to tell you who benefits the most from Dan Quinn's hire more than anybody on this roster. Do you know who it is?
You say Jamin? Forbes.
Yeah.
Forbes.
Forbes benefits second.
Yeah, he does. It's Jamin. Jamin's
going to be moved around.
Oh, I know.
Jamin's going to be coming off the edge now, going at quarterbacks.
Yes.
And Jamin is athletic. We know that.
Yeah, 4.4 speed, man.
Yeah, but I don't want him covering tight ends. Michael Parsons ain't covering no tight ends.
There you go.
Come on, man.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Let's not outthink ourselves here. Yeah. Let's turn him loose and let him play football. Yeah. He's going to look like a different player this year.
No, I totally agree. Todd said, see how the line looked better with Jacoby. No position group will be perfect.
Great point. Todd's my dude, man. Yeah, I appreciate Todd's cool. that. Yeah, that's my dude. No, listen, he's 100% correct. I mean, Jacoby came in, and I can say, not to knock Jacoby or Eric's offense for that matter, but I do think that when he was coming in the games, it kind of caught defenses off guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now you're looking at something totally different from what you were playing against. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a little bit of success. Now, if Jacoby was the starter and played multiple weeks, you may have seen some kinks in the armor somewhere.
Yeah.
But I do believe that if you have a quarterback that can make quick decisions and, like, good quick decisions, and also be able to improvise, which Caleb does. I just think that those are the things that can keep you from not having to have this elite offensive line.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, this is a – it depends. Like, it's wild. It's just like what Shanahan did in 2012. The offensive line wasn't good. Like, no, I mean, you had Trent.
You had Trent.
Yeah, that's about it, though. It was an undersized offensive line, but they did things to mask it. So I'm just interested to see what he does with this offense. So I want to gauge, as an offensive coordinator, what do you think he does next season? Do you think that – Do you have this team being more of a top 15 offense, top 10 offense? Or do you think, like, you know, fans have to be patient, wait it out? What is your expectations for this offense in the next season?
It depends on who the quarterback is,
man. That's true.
It does. If it's Sam Howell, it's a top 20 offense. Mm-hmm. If it's Caleb Williams, it's a top 10 offense.
I like you saying that.
I said they're going to be number one.
Yeah, they definitely
will be a top 10 unit. Yeah. Because last time I looked, man, this is the thing that people have to remember. Mm-hmm. You have weapons at wide receiver already. Mm-hmm. Legit weapons. Jahan wasn't used right this year. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, wasn't used at all. I don't know what's happening.
Jahan, we were talking about Jahan, his rookie season, that he might be better than Terry.
I know. I said this. I got to look. I said this on I was in a fantasy football draft, and I told this dude, like, yo, Jahan about to, yo, I'm telling you, Jahan about to be better than Terry. And my boys have been blasting me ever since the whole year because the way it panned out.
He wasn't used properly. This guy's phenomenal, man. You know that. You know I'm biased, but I'm real about it.
Yeah. No, I like Jahan. You know, I like Jahan.
He's one of the greats from my school, man. That guy can ball. He's a technician as far as route running. Mm-hmm. His confidence was just shook from day one. Not getting the ball, and then when he was getting, he was dropping. But that wasn't Jahan. I don't know who that was. Mm-hmm. So you get confidence back, and Kingsbury knows how to use these guys with explosive plays. You get a guy that can put the ball out there. You get a guy that can hit them in stride. Him, Terry, and Curtis. I'm telling you, man, there's something there. If they can re-sign Curtis and keep him, I'm telling you, they're loaded at the receiver spot. If you got a gunslinger out there that can get them the ball in right places, this offense will look explosive instantly. We all know what they need on this offense more than anything. They got to get a tight end. We know that.
Yeah. All right, so Paul said this, though. He said, well, Cole Turner will be good.
I like Cole a lot.
I do like Cole. I will, Paul.
Cole needs to get some weight on him. I mean, he's just, you know, with the way they were trying to use him in this offense was, you know, he's not a blocking tight end. He's not that guy. Bates is more your blocker. But even Bates had a down year. They've got talent in the tight end room, but they don't have a dog. And you get yourself a dog at tight end, and it's old one.
But I see to Paul's point, and I agree with you about what Turner needs to do. I like his catching ability, and he's athletic. He's an elusive tight end. He's one of those tight ends that you kind of – he's a new age tight end. He really is. He's a new age tight end.
But you know what he is? He's a converted receiver to tight end. He's just learning the nuances and intricacies. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was going to excel in Eric's offense because Kansas City's offense is really, you know, predicated on Travis Kelce. But I think what I had to understand Wole was – Travis Kelce's first ballot Hall of Fame. And we were just expecting somebody to get the ball a lot. Travis Kelce's that guy, man. That's that, you know, forget the whole Taylor Swift thing, man. Travis Kelce's been that dude.
He put in that work, real talk. He put in that work. It's just that I wish, that's one thing I did wish that Eric did was like, I wish he showcased Cole. I mean, I know Cole Turner isn't like the best blocker. I don't think Logan's the best blocker, to be honest with you. But that's another conversation. But I just feel like I would have liked to see him utilize him in that situation. Because I felt like, to be honest with you, from preseason, even when Logan had his concussion, I thought Sam Howell and Cole Turner had good chemistry. I thought they worked really well together. So when Logan came back, it was more, all right, Bates is obviously the blocking tight end and Turner and Thomas is now that he's the receiving tight end. So it's like, all right, there's no real room for Cole Turner. But I make the I feel like and I'll say it. I thought that Cole Turner was just as good or even better than Logan Thomas, to be honest with you, as a pass catching tight end.
Well, I'm gonna give you a homework assignment.
Then. Go ahead.
I'm not gonna say his name.
Go for it.
But there's a tight end coming out of Penn State that I'm telling you. every time I tell you there's one coming from there, they end up being something.
All right, I got you.
They got a tight end that so they the kid Warren who's coming back is all Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
But the second tight end probably had more physical attributes than Warren, who's all Big Ten.
All Big Ten, yeah.
And he had a good, I think he had 7 touchdowns this past year. But I'm telling you, he will remind you of tight end that came out last year and from Penn State that I want to say went to Jacksonville. He was a rookie, but he was really good.
I'm
telling you, this guy, I'll let you do the homework. This guy
I'm looking him up. Michigan got some good tight ends too, FYI. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, no. Michigan got some dogs. I'm not going to I'm going to say this first.
Go ahead. Just,
you heard it here first.
Go ahead.
Watch Harbaugh draft running back.
I know he's getting him. He's getting local. I told my brother this off the rip. I was like, and he's going to because Eckler's already on that. He's already on that iffy deal. He can get
Eckler's gone.
He's strong.
Eckler will be gone, and then
Blake Corum. I know he's getting because Corum is going to probably project a third, fourth rounder. So he's gonna get him in that. I know he's getting Corum. I know. Corum will be the starting running back in for the LA Chargers.
I do believe that. I truly believe that. I think he's gonna litter that roster with some of his Michigan guys.
Okay. Oh, Lake, definitely. I know how he's gonna roll. I know how he's gonna roll. He already got Roman, he's already working.
The defensive tackle, I could see that.
He's getting all of them. Hey, Lake, I'm not playing. Yeah. I know he look. If Justin Herbert wasn't his quarterback, he would get McCarthy.
I still told somebody McCarthy might be a third rounder.
McCarthy. I said this, I'm honest. Folks were saying first, McCarthy is a third rounder, but he is not ready right now
He's a third rounder.
If you watch,
sitting there and I'm the Chargers, I would contemplate that.
He would think about it.
He knows your system.
Yeah. He would think about it out of loyalty. You know what I'm saying? He would definitely think about it out of loyalty. There's some guys that he would take in a second.
I want the corner here.
Yeah. He probably get the corner too if he get a chance to get him too. He get the corner.
I like him. I do.
Blake Corum, definitely. Blake Corum is going to. I know he's local, but he's definitely going to. He's going to LA. Blake Corum is going to LA.
Blake Corum would look. You talking about looking good in somebody's offense? Blake Corum would look great in Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Yeah, he's a tough. He's so tough, man.
Blake Corum's got speed though. People don't understand that. He will take it to the house on you.
He can take it to the house. Yeah, he's got good vision. That's one thing, Blake. You got great vision. Oh no, I'm with you. But I'm excited. Like I said, I wasn't uber excited about Kingsbury as an OC. But I'm being a fan of the squad. I'm gonna give everything a chance. I'm not part of that toxic Washington Commanders culture where you wait for somebody to fail. I'm not into that.
That's the young culture. The young culture is. And they get mad at me sometimes when I say it. The young culture is used to losing. So unfortunately,
I agree, man.
Unfortunately, when all you know is losing, guess what you become?
A loser.
And you have a losing mentality where nothing is ever good enough.
True.
We know that it hasn't worked for years and years and years, but you know what? I remember when they were struggling a little bit before they got Joe Gibbs. I'm that old. Yeah. Joe Gibbs was about to get fired. Yeah. His first go round, it wasn't working. He wanted to bring that Dan Coryell air raid offense here, and it wasn't working. And they started off, I think, 0-4, 0-6, or whatever. Yeah. And then he decided, you know what? This is more of a physical team. I got a line. I might just need to just run the football. And that's what they did. And that became their blueprint. So I say all this because I remember all the bad before the great, and then I obviously remember the bad that we've been living with here. Yeah. So it's coming, man. I mean, it's you just got to give it a chance. And I want to say this too.
Yeah.
They've always tried to make a splash, and those splashes, how did it work out? You got True. Spurrier, you got Shanahan, you got these splashes, and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So now you got a guy that is well respected around the league. Ron mm-hmm. Rivera was well respected, but I'm going to say this: Ron Rivera was never really truly respected as an X's and O's coach.
Yeah,
he was respected as a good man.
Yeah. Yes. This is true.
Dan Quinn is respected as far as his X's and O's on that damn defense. Make no mistake about it.
Agreed.
And he's liked quite a bit. And I think he's smart enough. He said it yesterday to us in the media room. He said it. He understands what he did wrong in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He understands what he did right in Seattle and wrong. And he understood that after 8 years running that same system that he ran in Seattle defensively in Atlanta as well, he had to change because the offenses had modernized themselves. He said, so he's proven to people over the last 3 years in Dallas that he can adapt. He said, so now as a second time coach, he's going to change some things that didn't work for him. And some of the stuff he said did work for him. He won't even use that. Mm. I just think that he came across to me yesterday in that room as so honest, but not about himself. It was about Adam Peters with him, about Josh Harris, about Kingsbury, about Witt. He kept talking up his guys. And I'm not throwing Ron under the bus, but Ron definitely was about Ron. You can see that it was Ron's way. That's just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
So now they may make a move that may not have the big splash. This one might be the one that works because of that.
Yeah, and to your point, Marcus says, was a family. The one thing I love about our coaches and front office is they are on the same page.
Yes, they are, Marcus, and that is a great point. And that's what I walked away from there yesterday. Got back here, Janine was like, hey, she said, what did you think? And I'm like, I as a former athlete, you too, you played, you know when you really will run through a wall for somebody.
Sure.
And you know when you will avoid that wall from somebody. Mm-hmm. Them jokers were avoiding walls over the last 2 years. I mean, come on, man. Let's just be real with
it. It seemed like it.
For them coaches.
It seemed like it. It seemed like it.
Going back, it's too practice too hard. And guys ain't putting me in the right position. Well, you going to run through a wall for this dude because he has that kind of verbiage. And he was just saying little things that made me know that he relates to the players as far as the way he spoke. You could tell he's down. You can tell.
You know, I can definitely tell. I can see it. Oh, Paul said late tight end, number 16 for Penn State.
There he is. I'm not gonna say the name because I promised my boy every time I come on here, I don't want to just go Penn State.
Yeah, I know. You know, because Lake always listed off some Penn State players, man.
I mean, we everywhere. That's just, I can't help that. We everywhere, you know? There's several of them in the Super Bowl, but I mean, I ain't going to even bring that up.
Oh, man. Lake, you're a trip, bro. You are a trip. I'm going to read one from Todd, and then we can kind of end the show. Todd said, yes, the young fan culture is toxic. Don't have enough goodwill stored. I will say this. I want to add this. It's wild because I said this before. And, like, you went back to what Joe Gibbs dealt with. I'll even go something that's current. I remember the teams being bad with Trey Johnson, Henry Ellard, and company. And I felt like the fan base was still rooting those dudes on. Like, they weren't turning on them. And I don't know if it's social media. Obviously, that's an element. But I just felt like we've had some bad teams in D.C., and even with the bad teams, I felt like the fan base was still supportive of those bad teams.
Well, listen, man, I don't want to, you know, I got a 16-year-old, and I don't want to pile on to the generation, but the young generation is a participation trophy generation. And unfortunately, because of that, they know what mediocre is because they are mediocre. I'm just calling it. I'm saying it. So when you know what it looks like, it's you think you can be mediocre and great at the same time. That ain't how that worked. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the whole, you know, straying in sports here, but that whole LeBron Mike, you know, analogy, and LeBron's the GOAT and he's got the stats and all this, but he's got many epic fails that I witnessed firsthand. I've never seen that with Mike. Have you?
Fails? I'm just saying I seen him get knocked out the first round.
Did you ever see Kobe fail?
Yeah, I seen Kobe fail.
You saw Kobe fail one time.
I seen him fall in Utah, the Air first year. And the I know people got
really Detroit.
They fell.
But I think Detroit. That was some internal him and Shaq beef.
Yeah, because he was gunning. Like, I don't know if that finals. I remember that finals. I was mad at him. He was gunning.
Okay, so I don't look at Kobe as the GOAT. It's Mike. When did Mike fail?
When did personally he fail? He failed a couple times in the first round. In the first round.
Were those failures when his team was?
See, why we always gotta add something though? Like when LeBron played the freaking Spurs in the finals, like that team wasn't
a failure to me though.
Okay, I'm about to say because
he did everything he was supposed to. They just weren't better than them.
Okay,
but a failure is the Mavericks series.
That's a failure.
San Antonio series. A failure is
that team was better. That San Antonio team was better.
Listen, this Laker basketball team right now. They're not devoid of talent. I don't care.
Nah, they got Darvin. The problem is they got Darvin Ham as a coach. That's the problem. You see his rotation? Like, you play ball. Come on. Stop.
You're a Laker guy. I know this.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so come on, man. I'm just asking
you. You're right that you got talent. I agree with you. I totally agree.
If you're the
GOAT,
your talent should be playing even better.
They should. Look, man. Mike needed Phil Jackson, bro. Doug Collins wasn't doing it for him.
How about Phil Jackson needed?
All right, they both. Well, Kobe needed Phil. Kobe needed. I agree with your points, but Kobe needed Phil because he wasn't winning with Rudy Tomjanovich or what's his name too? I kind of think he had. Didn't he have Dan? Not Dan Tony was in L.A. But yeah, Rudy T.
He had several coaches.
That's a championship coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, like, sometimes I'm just saying, coaches, you need. Something. I ain't gonna say you gotta be the best coach in the world, but you can't be no Darvin Ham type coach. Like, I'm saying, like, bro, like, your rotations change every 50 seconds, dude.
Do you think LeBron has something to do with that?
This Darvin. I think LeBron has something to do with Darvin feeling pressure to like change up at this point in time.
No, I'm saying, do you think LeBron has something to do with Darvin Ham being hired in the first place?
Yeah. I agree.
Of course he did.
That I agree.
If you're going to play GM, you're going to have to live with the concept.
No, I agree. Look, I ain't going to argue with that. Like, I agree with that. That I agree with. Like, LeBron ain't the best. LeBron ain't a great GM. I'll be the first to tell you that. Like, he ain't the greatest GM. He think he a good GM. He ain't a good GM. You know what I'm saying? Because he wanted Russ. He wanted Russ.
And it's not even hate. Like yesterday. No joke, bro. I know we're straying here. This is good stuff.
It's okay.
Yesterday,
we're shooting the breeze. Go ahead, bro.
Yesterday, David Aldridge, that's my boy.
Yeah.
We were talking about our top fives.
Yeah.
And he mentioned his top five. And he had Mike, Kareem, Wilt.
I don't like his list already.
It was Mike, Kareem.
I don't like his list.
Wilt. I think Magic. Russell.
No Magic.
And Magic.
Oh, he better have Magic.
But LeBron wasn't on his top five.
That's fine. You don't have that LeBron. I got my own list.
I mean, LeBron's on my top five. He's on my top five. But I just think, you know, when you talk about the GOAT, that guy has to be flawless, man. And to me, you know, it took me a while to get on the whole Tom Brady GOAT thing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, did it really? Yeah, it took a while too.
Because I was like, he got the system, they're winning, but he proved when he left, went to Tampa, bang, they won it. And his team fell apart up there in New England.
That defense was good though, man. That defense was good in Tampa though, too, that year. That defense was good too, but you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you're talking about the GOATs, like from boxing. How can you not say that Floyd isn't one of them?
Yeah.
But people say he didn't play, he didn't fight anybody. Not true at all.
Pretty Boy fought. Like the beginning, he fought. He's in the conversation the greatest of all time. I'm never going to like. I'm not diminishing that.
He's flawless. That's what I'm saying. You don't see
flawless. He's flawless. Yeah, he's flawless. You can use political stuff. Yeah, he's. I mean, I'll never put those shade on Floyd as a boxer. You'll never hear me do that. But I will say, like, yeah. I mean, folks need to put more respect on Magic Johnson's name when they talk about goats. That's all I need.
I mean, that's one of my all time favorites.
Not you, like I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, like, I'll be seeing these little lists, and I don't be seeing enough Magic. I don't see enough Magic.
All I hear from these young guys is that Mike and Magic and these guys was playing against plumbers and fifth grade school.
That's Gilbert Arenas starting that stuff, and I love Gilbert. Gilbert be wild.
Okay, so but you know what I say to that though? Right. If that means that they were plumbers and school teachers too, if you're going to say that that's what they were, because now you already giving them credit by taking credit from them.
True. That's true.
Just
that's
acknowledge true. What you saw. Yeah. Again, man. And I keep going to this point. This is my last point. Don't tell me what LeBron would have done in the 80s and 90s. Cause he's so much bigger and stronger than people. Nah, man, yeah, the game was different. You're not, If they got you banging on the floor now crying, my God, what would have happened then? I'm gonna flip it. What would Jordan do in today's game with no hand checking and no defense?
Yeah, you don't know. You never know. I will say
I do know. Yeah, he's gonna average 40.
No, I would say this. I would say this though. Like, this is the thing that I think somebody had it broken down perfectly, and I kind of like their acknowledgement of GOAT. Like, who's the GOAT of your era? Like, that's how I like the, like, or your decade or whatever. Like, to me, in the 90s, Jordan is the GOAT in the 90s, right? Because for real, the 80s, you can say whoever, like Magic, Bird, whatever. Magic had most of the rings, so I'm saying Magic. I'm a Magic dude. That's biased. And then you could take it, because I think that, like, this one I will say, like, I've seen it because I coach kids, whatever. I always say, like, and I do agree with Gilbert Arenas when he breaks this down about today's basketball players. They are more skilled than any era of basketball, like skill wise.
Without question.
The stuff
they're
that they can do.
They're globetrotters.
They are freaking amazing.
Yes.
So in terms of the skill, yes, they are more talented than any era, but that's evolution. There's more talent than any era of basketball. The thing that they lack, and I think to your point, I think when you're talking about how Jordan can still score, and he could. I think a dog can score, or a dog can be a dog in multiple eras if you're that skilled and you have the will. I do agree with that. I do think that Jordan and, like, many, many other players, even in the 80s, Isaiah Thomas, these dudes have the mental to match the skill. And I think a lot of these players don't have the mental. Like, and not to sit here, I'm not calling them dumb. I'm not saying that. Yeah, exactly. They don't have the mental in terms of situational basketball, when to do this, when to do that, or how to lean on a player, or this, that, and the other, like the other players did. And I think that's the difference.
Well, you know, the thing too is, unfortunately, free agency has watered down the game.
That too.
And, you know, those teams in the 80s and 90s and even 70s before that, they were the same group of guys. You just drafted and added to your group of guys, and it was the same guys every year.
Yeah.
So, of course, when people talk about Jordan failing against Boston, well, Boston was freaking reigning champions. Them and the Lakers ran the league then.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
Unfortunately for Boston, the reason why they fell apart and came back down to earth and didn't continue the dynasty was because Lynn Bias – and because of Reggie Lewis. They had two players die within 3 years.
They were ready.
That killed them. Sorry to say it like that, but it literally
destroyed
what they could do. Because let's face it, you and I both know if those guys had lived,
Reggie Lewis is mean too, though.
There was no Bulls.
Yeah, they were no Bulls. Not real talk. And I'll be real, like, obviously Lynn Bias was amazing. But I actually watched, like, I didn't get a chance to watch Lynn Bias like that.
Oh, I remember Lynn.
Yeah, you remember? So I watched Reggie Lewis, though. Like, I watched Reggie Lewis. And Reggie Lewis
was that dude, man.
He was smooth.
Two-way player, too.
Yeah. Reggie Lewis was smooth. Yes. I used to, like, and then when he passed, I couldn't be like, but he was smooth. And he was the next, because Bird was already kind of grooming him. Like, that, I remember. Like,
Well, Reggie Lewis, the year he passed in the offseason, but that year before, he led the Celtics in scoring.
Yeah, because Bird
had already been
passed. But they were already ready. Like, I remember they were ready to give it to him already.
Yeah.
And he was getting better every year, too. Like, he was getting better every year. Like, oh, yeah.
So that's what's killed the game now, is that you have free agency, so guys can link up with their own guys. You can take the money as opposed to show loyalty. Mm-hmm. It's just changed everything. And I think that what's happened is people think a mediocre player is an all-star, which makes them great. And I'm like, man, y'all, you can't throw that word great around just to everybody, man. Right now in the NBA, there's 3 to 4 great players. Yeah. And when I say that, I mean,
I know what you mean.
Skill set and all that stuff, but I'm talking about on a night in and night basis, you're in trouble. And to me, I still put LeBron on there.
Yeah.
Steph is definitely.
Definitely on there. Definitely.
You're going to get it. You just, it's coming. You know, definitely, but then you have some young guys. Like, I'm a big Halliburton fan.
I love
him. But, man, you know, I'm just saying. Football the same way. It's the same way. You know, I think this year was special in the NFL to see, you know, CJ and Houston.
Oh, great. For real.
You know, just to see the emergence of some of these next wave of young players who want to be good and great.
Yeah.
And hopefully Washington gets one, man. Seriously.
I agree. I shout out to CJ Stroud because he changed my mind about Ohio State quarterbacks. So I'm gonna give him a shout out because he proved me wrong. I ain't gonna hold you. I did not think he was gonna
be that dunk is cold. I mean, but just to see like the emergence of Jordan Love. They ain't even thinking about
Rodgers. All right, okay, real quick. Now I'm about to end it, but I want to mention that though. So it does go to Sam Howell. Like, so if you draft. This is the thing. Patrick Mahomes sat a year under Alex Smith, then took over the year after.
Yeah, he did.
Awesome. What's wrong with under Kingsbury with Sam Howell starting year one and having whoever the backup, whoever the quarterback is, and have them sit and watch him?
Nothing. And like I said, I'm okay if they decide they want to still go with Sam because I think he regressed, but the franchise regressed. It wasn't just Sam that regressed. They lost 7 straight, man. Yeah. I mean, everybody regressed. So you can't hang your hat on him. He's not the fault. I know I saw times during the season where that guy showed me that you can build with him. Yeah. This is the difference. To build with Sam Howell, you have to have a line. You have to.
You have to. Yeah, you have to.
You have
to. It hurts. You have to have
a line. If you told me that their line is A1, then I can go with Sam.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree.
But if you don't have an A1 line, then you need an elite quarterback talent to offset that. So that's the dilemma that they're in right now. But I'm telling you from a ticket standpoint, from a conversation all over the airways, you get Caleb Williams – that first game next year will be humming. Trust me.
True. Okay. Now this is what really like. Now you just can you open my thought process with something else about this whole regime. But wouldn't it be anti-Snyder regime if this team didn't go sexy and get the quarterback and say they went offensive line? Would that be a sign you say, you know what? This definitely is a change. We're not trying to sell tickets. We're just trying to build a team the best way we think we can build.
Yeah, you're right. It would be, but this is the difference, though.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a quarterback with this kind of talent.
I agree with you.
Period. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was the, 11th
pick? Was he 15th or something like that?
I think he was 11 or 12.
Yeah, so he was mid, yeah.
Nobody knew who Patrick Mahomes was going to be, you know? And I agree with Paul just said that. Yeah, he kind of took the words out of my mouth. Man, right, you gotta get the fan base ready to come back into that arena. And they need somebody. One thing we do know instantly with Caleb, he would be polarizing. You either love him or you hate him.
I know.
And one thing I do know about this fan base, all you gotta do is come out game one and throw 3-4 touchdowns and get a W. People who hate him will love him.
Yeah, they will.
Now you got your franchise quarterback or potential franchise quarterback who's from the area. It's a story that can be told. And again, man, I mean, new owner. I agree. If I'm spending $6 billion, I ain't trying to listen, man, I got to get some of that money back, man. That's a lot of money. I mean, seriously, man, if I got to get somebody that people coming out to see him because his hair rainbowed like Dennis Rodman, but you buying a ticket, I mean, and he's good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. This kid's good.
Yeah.
You gotta do what you gotta do, man.
No, I'm with you. I am totally with you. Hey, Will Lake, man, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, how can cats catch your content and also follow you on social media, my man?
It's easy, man. They can just check me out on social media, Lake Lewis on X, you know, formerly Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, at Lake Lewis Jr. You can go to sportsjourney.com. You can check out, the After Practice podcast, subscribe to that or watch it on YouTube or on Sports Journey. And then you can check me out locally on Channel 7 there, ABC, you know, doing some inside stuff there. And end of the month, you know, it'll finally come out the other one. So
okay, that's what I want to hear. That's what I like to hear. And when you when you got a next another live thing to do, let me know. I'm ready to rock and roll and support.
Yeah, I'm gonna it's funny. I'm gonna be in contact with somebody tomorrow and trying to get like a, you know, kind of like a not so much a recap show because it's not good to talk about, but just where they are now and how the fan base should be excited. So yeah, man, we're gonna put another one together and we'll have you up there with me this time.
All right, man. You know what time it is. I'm there to support. You know how I am. So it is.
It's tequila.
Yeah, inside joke, folks. Yeah, I love me some tequila. Ain't no inside joke. I love me some tequila. All right. We got it in that night.
I don't even remember that night.
All right, Lake, man. Good talking to you, man.
All right, fam. Do your thing, man.
I appreciate you. Oh, man. That's my guy, Lake, man. Oh, man. Make sure you follow him on X. That's at Lake Lewis. And on IG, at Lake Lewis Jr. Great show. I appreciate everybody for tuning in, man. Thank you, Paul, man. Appreciate you, homie, man. Paul, I like to hear that. You all in for Caleb now? I love it. You a Caleb believer now, man. I love it, man. I love it. Taj, man, appreciate you, homie, man. Appreciate you, my dude. All right, man. Real quick, let's tie up some loose ends. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Hey, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Click the red subscribe button and like this video. And also check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amplifier Media, at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. Anyway, I appreciate you all for tuning in. This has been a dope show. Appreciate the homie Lake. Appreciate all the commenters, man. You all are the real MVPs. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports site for ages. You dig? Deuces. I am out.